Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES, for 15% off today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, welcome back to Making Moves. I'm here with two Coachella goers from the Good Boys podcast.
Hey, we are Coachella goers.
This is Todd and Brett.
We're the Good Boys.
We're not feeling the best.
Yeah, actually, that's why we have our hangover glasses on.
It's that post-Coachella depression. We were just crying earlier talking about it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what? I'm excited for the debrief because I personally love a debrief of like a night out.
Do you know what I mean? Like after the best the when you get home with your like out. With your buddies and you're like, yeah. And then you did this and this person was looking at you and then they totally have a crush on you and you can debrief the whole night.
Totally. And then you're like, oh, why did I do that? I didn't mean to do that.
Sorry. Has a crush on you?
Yeah, we're like, oh my God, he was looking at you the whole night.
That's what Brett does too.
Brett, yeah. I can see Brett.
I held this girl's hand and then she like tickled the inside of my palm and that was it.
I do. When a girl holds my hand, I like, to me, it's like crazier than making out with a girl.
I think it's really it's, nice. It's really so intimate. It's really intimate, especially at a festival.
Yeah.
When like, just like, I hate to use the word vibes, but when the vibes are right, and a girl grabs it, like, I'm dating Natalie, obviously, but like, when I was single going to Coachella, when a girl grabs your hand, it's like, whoa.
Because I kept
wait,
saying
wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, let's debrief this. I need to hear more. Wait,
well, it might have been back in the day I was on Molly, that's why, but,
okay.
You know, like, if a girl's on Molly and she holds your hand, there's something, like, so intimate about it. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Personally, I'm not a drug girly, so I don't know this feeling.
Yeah, Brett was on mushrooms, not Molly.
I was on shrooms, not Molly, but there was still this moment like she was on Molly, I was on shrooms, she held my hand, I was like, I felt.
Were you like, are we about to kiss right now?
I still have butterflies, and I haven't talked to her since.
See,
shut up.
And I think it's because she held my hand, and he's like, everyone's making fun of, like, dude, it's just a handhold. But I'm like, there's something so intimate.
No, I get
about
it. I'm not making fun of you for the handhold. I think the handhold's great.
Okay,
it's handhold's beautiful.
I wasn't referring to you, but yeah, thank
especially
you.
Especially like under like the like warm Coachella wind, you got like yeah. music over here.
Mm-hmm.
You
like music over you're here. You're going through the crowd. You need to and hold like, each other's
hand.
It's
just like
hand.
That original touch. It's just like, whoa.
Okay. And you think, and so this was a girl that you had a crush on, she held your hand?
That gave me a crush on her when she held my hand.
Shut up. Are you serious?
I'm dead ass.
I feel like I'm out here giving free handholds to people.
So you're holding people.
And now I'm overthinking it.
No, like, fuck, I shouldn't have held his hand.
I know. I'm like, goddamn, does he think I'm obsessed with him now?
I hope he wasn't on Molly.
I don't think she was obsessed with me. I'm like thinking about her.
Okay. She's rent free in your head right now after holding the hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's all I got to do.
What's her name? let's give her an alias.
Yeah.
Tabitha.
It's kind of hot.
That's Tabitha. She used to be the bartender at her local dive bar back in Huntington.
Really? That's a cool name.
She's Tabitha.
Cool.
Tabitha. What a babe.
She's living rent free in his head.
No. Tabitha was cool. She was just a friend.
Okay, so the handhold, and you agree.
The handhold?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, like, if Brett was on mushrooms and she was on some whatever, I think the handhold's really important. I mean, she could definitely have forgotten about the handhold.
Okay. But when you're so sober, a handhold is just a handhold.
Yeah. It's different when you're, like, in that environment, I think.
Okay.
You know? And you got all your wristbands on, touching and stuff. You got, like, your 20 wristbands here.
The wristband bird.
Yeah. Like, fuck. Yeah.
And you're like, dude, like, all of a sudden, like, the group moves and you're, like, having to move through the crowd.
Yeah, and you
like,
have to hold each other's hand.
And you're
hand.
Like, yo, we're protecting each other right now because, like, if we lose each other, we lose the group.
Oh, yeah.
But that's kind of hot, too. If you lose a group, you're just you two. Like, holding hands still, you know? And then you take her to the Ferris wheel.
I purposely make us lose the group.
Yeah, you should have.
We lost them. I don't know what to tell you. It's just us now.
How many steps did you have all weekend?
I, on Sunday, had 30,000 steps.
Jesus.
I think it was 32,000. But to keep in mind, on Saturday night, I was up till 5 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So we have to count all those steps.
Yeah, yeah. Plus they count,
plus
yeah.
the Sunday steps. Over.
I think everyone stayed up till like 5, 6 in the morning each night.
How late did you? Because I saw y'all at Neon Carnival, which should we explain what that is?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Apparently, it's like, they call it like the best party in the world.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is debatable, obviously. But it's like, it's like the best party in the world.
It's
the party on Saturday after weekend one. Weekend one, Saturday, Coachella.
Yeah.
It's the after party. Yeah, yeah. And like, tables go from like 10 to 30 grand,
mm-hmm.
which is insane.
Yeah.
Because they're not that great. It's just like a bleacher.
Don't you ever wonder, like, who buys those?
Harry Jowsey
bought a table. We saw him yesterday. Yeah, he's like, what'd he spend?
$30,000.
Did he spend 30 G's? Oh. He spent 30 G's, right? Yeah.
And he was so bummed. He's like, dude, I definitely should not have done that. Well, why did he do that?
Wait, what?
Who was he trying to impress?
He spent 30 G's
at the table. Yeah, who was he trying to impress?
It's fucking, that's crazy. But we didn't buy a table, and we had a great time.
Yes.
And we saw you.
Yeah.
The dance floor is
I feel
poppin'.
Like the dance floor. Okay, so I had the table and dance floor experience because one of my friend's rich-ass boyfriends bought a table.
Mm.
And so we went up there, obviously, after I saw y'all.
How was the view?
And, you know, it was great, but I like being down in the nitty-gritty more. The only thing that was epic is the table next to us, because the tables are intimate. It's normally, like, high-profile people, because this is, like, even though there's so many people there, I would say like it's an exclusive, like a lot of celebrities were there.
Yeah.
Like not just influencer people. Like I kept seeing like A-list celebrities that I don't see on the regular. So next to us, and of course I have my brother there. He's never been to Coachella. He's like freaking out. And my family friend. And we're hanging out at this table. And literally, I'm not kidding you, from me to you was Big Sean and Janae Aiko.
Oh, that's cool.
Damn.
We were like, and they were vibing, having the best time. We were like hanging out with them, basically. Yeah. And so that was really cool.
That's sick.
But the overall like dancing was more fun.
Yeah.
I feel like down in the nitty gritty.
The DJ was carrying the night.
Dude, they were amazing.
He was amazing, yeah.
Can we talk
was it
about
a girl? I think it was a girl.
No, it was a guy. Oh, okay. Can we talk about, though, his friend that kept grabbing the mic and gave everyone in the world a shout out? He'd be like, shout out North Dakota, shout out Texas, shout out Paris Hilton, shout out Gunna.
He's like, everyone, take a shot of 42 right now.
Yeah. Oh, shout out. He'd be like, shout out Impulsive Show.
Did he?
Yeah, he'd like shouting out everyone.
Fuck, he should have shouted us out.
I know. Damn. I mean, he definitely didn't shout out Making Moves Bond, so I don't know what he was doing. But yeah, did you guys have fun at Neon?
Yeah, I think that was my highlight of Coachella.
One of my favorite nights, for sure.
And then I think Swedish House Mafia.
Love
that. Sick.
So good.
So I only went to the actual festival for 3 hours, where I saw Doja Cat and Swedish House. And I think I got my whole experience just then. It was amazing.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Can we talk about how hard it is to, like, find your friends, but weirdly you see everyone.
It's so hard to avoid people, but you can't find your friends.
Yeah, it's crazy, but you see everyone else in the world.
I have like everyone in LA's location, like on Find Friends. Like when I meet someone, I'm like, share your location with
me. Oh really? I need to share mine with you.
Please do, and I'll hold on to it for life. And the only location that was actually updating, the only person who I guess had service at the festival, was Natalie. So I would just keep tracking Natalie to find her, because I was like, if I can find Natalie, I can find everyone. And that's how I kind of like kept finding you guys at the bar.
Yeah, you know, like he's saying Natalie, but I bet it's the girl his hand he held.
You think he got her location?
Yeah, I bet you have her.
Have her location. You gotta get her location.
You're Natalie.
You gotta get her location. The hand holding.
Did it feel like a high school reunion?
Yes.
Like you run into everyone.
It's crazy.
At this one spot, I'm like, I gotta get out of here, because we just stood around the fucking VIP bar.
I know.
It was crazy. So the first night, everyone's like in the VIP bar, the VIP area. And so me, myself, Brett Robinson, and our friend Tien, we just said, fuck it. We took off and we started running around the whole festival, which probably was another highlight of the festival. It was just so fun
doing
that.
It's fun once you get out in the like real crowd.
You can like really breathe.
I know. Out there. My friends and I would go to the Dew Lab and just.
Bro, the Dew Lab's so fun.
So fun.
You
know what did it for me though is like, so keep in mind, my brother who you guys met, he's there for the first time. I'm like, we're going to the Dew Lab. He has no idea like what this is. I'm like, it's the Dew Lab is this like, it's where all the crazies go.
Yeah.
I'd say. Like the hardcore, druggy, like crazy.
Like deep, not like deep house, but like it's like, how do you like, it's like just
rave
hard.
Rave energy. Right? Yeah, for sure. So we like go because we like to be stupid in there. And like there's no one like important there. It's just like, we're like having the best time. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I feel like otherwise you're like kind of your networking game on. You're like trying to be nice to people and whatever, in VIP at least. So we go to the Dew Lab and there's a full group of guys in Speedos with elf ears. And I'm not kidding you. That's what did it for me. I was like, we gotta move this side. I can't be around those people with elf ears. It was just
yeah, that's really.
And they're going crazy.
Wait,
like
what?
I'm not kidding you. There's probably 20 guys with Speedos and elf ears.
That's so
and I was
bizarre.
Like, am I in a different world?
Yeah, that's no, fucking cool.
That
they're
so
frat, a fraternity.
Yeah.
They're probably like, right.
Probably
Alpha Sig.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Out
yeah, that's
Discord
really funny.
Before or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's crazy.
We should do that next year.
It was crazy. My brother is like, "What is going on?"
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's a gnarly Dew Lab experience for like the first time.
I know. What do you guys think of? Is this your first Coachella, or I would assume
I've been
not?
Since 2015.
It's my seventh.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was my fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of this one?
I realized my Coachella stamina is not the same. Like like day two, I was like, oh fuck. Like I'm feeling this. But yeah. I persevered and, you know, carried on. I thought it was great. I mean, it was a fun one coming back to. I didn't think the lineup was the greatest. I'm a big band guy.
Oh.
And so like my first year, there was a bunch of bands that were there. And I got to the festival like at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and just like ran around all day. But this year I barely saw any music.
Uh-huh.
It was like, just because like there weren't as many like acts or like bands at all that I wanted to see, but it was still fun. You know?
I know. I will say it's also hard because of all the parties, and then the it's become such a social event. It's kind of hard to when like it actually if, pay attention to the music.
If you camp and you don't do the parties weekend one, it'll be a completely different experience.
I can imagine.
You don't give a shit about the parties.
Yeah.
And like you just like, and then like, if there's like a good lineup, you know, you just go out there and you like go see like everyone you want to see, and you run around. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a real Coachella like experience.
I'm sure. I've never camped, but my friends and I like feel like we missed out on, or we felt like we missed out so much on the music.
Yeah.
That we're going back tonight for a weekend too.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, to just watch the music. Well,
that's nice.
I work in the music business. Uh-huh. I've gone so many times, and usually my experience has been like, this feels like work. So this year, I was having a lot of anxiety where I'm like, I can't see myself going to the festival every day, being at all the parties. And I always have had more fun at the parties than the actual festival. So this year, I was like going in, I was like, I'm not going to go to the festival.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to go to the parties. So that's kind of what we started to do. I was like, I had so much fun at Revolve. I loved Neon Carnival. We had a lot of fun at the guest house. And then on the last day, I was like, you know what? I got to go to the festival. And then Mariah gave me her pass. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I got to at least go for like 3 or 4 hours. And I think next year, I think now knowing how fun our group was and the environment, and like, I was like, all right, I think I can. I don't know why I have like these like anxious roadblocks, maybe from like these, like having gone for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, all right, next year, I think I can bring myself.
It's just like a gut feeling you have that you're already, like your brain's already trained.
Yeah. It's to like, feel like that. Like the last few times I've gone, I just like didn't have as much fun at the actual Coachella as I had at the parties. So I kind of like got stubborn about it. But
I hear that from a lot of people, but I love the festival.
I think the festival's way more fun than parties.
Yeah, me too. I fucking love being there.
Yeah.
It's when you get stuck in that VIP section or the artist area, that's when people don't like
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
You get claustrophobic in there, the bar.
It's who you're with. And the last few years I've gone, it's been with people who are working the music business who don't actually want to go watch any concerts, and we get stuck in the VIP area. So I'm like, I just walked 30,000 steps today to sit at a bar with the same people I see in LA. Like, why am I here?
Dude, 100%. It feels like you're at a bar in LA.
Yes, it does.
It's like, what are we doing?
Yes, but everyone in LA you've ever even heard of, seen on the internet, like Instagram's asshole is at the bar in VIP.
Instagram's asshole,
That's like, why I was like, I don't want to fucking do this. But then once I went and like had such a great time not being with the music industry, I was like, fuck, okay, I could see myself doing this next year and not sitting at the bar the whole time.
Yeah, right?
Which would be awesome.
Also, too, going with a big group is tough.
It is, because everyone wants to do their separate things.
Yeah, and it's like frustrating. I mean, when you have to like wait for people, that's the worst. Mm-hmm. See, me in the beginning, I never had to do that.
Mm.
Like, because I camped for the first 3 years.
Shut up. You did first 3 years
first
camping?
First 3 years camped, and you can go in and out whenever
I'm
you want.
I'm so impressed.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's crazy.
So fun.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 Hard Challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like, the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it, and it's just so good. Like a nice, cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh, mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys, the pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite.
But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in fourth place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like, it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 hard challenge, but one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
You want to hear a crazy story about sneaking in?
What? Yeah.
So,
oh my God.
Shout out to Happy Hour and guests for having us this weekend. Yeah,
you guys
and accommodating.
Looked like you were accommodated.
It was fucking nuts. But the compound we stayed on, it was like Fort Knox.
Oh, I love it.
Because like you had to like, it was fucking crazy.
Wait,
like,
what do you mean Fort Knox?
Like, we had a gate in the front and there were
15 security guards.
Like the security, like the head security guards were like, I feel like they were like ex-SEALs. Like they for our compound. They were super cool.
It was like a 6-7 house compound with 6 bedrooms per house.
Yeah.
So there were a bunch of houses.
In a cul-de-sac. Sorry.
That's amazing.
There was like two party, like one main party house where we had like after parties because the front house is like us. We couldn't be loud at all. There's like no noise at all.
Copy.
And so we had to be quiet. But we had a after party on Sunday, and nobody outside the houses could go to that after party because the weekend and like Sebastian and Grosso were coming and they were bringing a bunch of people, right?
With like Leo, with like Timothy Chalamet.
It was crazy. Uh-huh. And so they kept it super tight. And so we had this guest list of like Cody Coe and friends who we're pretty close with and like a bunch of other people. Uh-huh. And so when we were leaving the festival, I told Cody we're leaving the festival, but he already started coming towards our house from his place, like a 30-minute Uber ride. Uh-huh. And he was with like 10, 12 people.
Oof.
We originally had them down for 8 people, but that didn't matter because there was supposed to be like, there's no more list, right? And so Cody gets there and everybody, and we're with one of Cody's friends. I'm pretty close with him. His name's Matt. He's with us. And Cody's like, we just walked up and then we said, we're on the list. And they're like, no, you're not. There's no list. And Cody's like, what the fuck, man? Like, he's talking to me. I'm like, Cody, I'm trying to figure this out, man. Like, give me like 20 minutes. We're going to try to get you guys in. They're super fucking tight. And he's like, I thought this was David's party. I'm like, no. It was never David's party. It was just like the weekend's after party.
I got a text about that.
Yeah, it was like never David's party at all. But I guess like people thought it was. And like, we couldn't even get, like, I couldn't get my mom in.
Yeah.
You know? And so Cody and them, they start to like walk away because like they're like still trying to get in, and like the security guards are being dicks to them. So they walk away around the corner. A bus pulls up next to them, and they're like, "Hey, you guys trying to get into the party?" They're like, "Yeah." They wouldn't fucking let us in, and he's like, "Well, this pass lets you pass the gate." And they're like, "How much?" He's like, $100. They gave him $200 for the pass. So they had like their personal driver or whatever, and they didn't. The one person that the security team didn't see was Kelsey, Cody's girlfriend.
Yes, love Kelsey.
She's amazing.
She's the best.
She is the best. Besides Brett.
Fiance.
Yeah, Cody's fiance, yes. Congrats.
Yeah.
And so they put Kelsey in the front seat and they put the pass up there.
Of the bus.
You're kidding. And like almost everyone else hid in their Suburban. And so they pull up and
Who was driving?
They're an Uber driver.
Their personal driver.
Who the special pass, yeah. Who they got from another bus driver.
Shut up.
Yeah. And so like
And this is a random Uber.
That passed them.
Yeah.
It was like a random bus driver that dropped people off.
Dead.
Yeah. Helped them out. And so fucking Kelsey's in the front. And I guess they asked her like how many, and Kelsey like turns around. She's like mouthing back to them. They're like, 6? And she's like, 6? And they're like, perfect. And then they see the pass. They're like, oh, you have a pass. Why don't you just show us? Go on in. And so then they gave them like 6 wristbands to enter the party. Huh? And they didn't put the wristbands on. They just had the wristbands all attached to each other. And they held them up, and they like 12 of them walked in the party. They fucking Trojan horsed it.
Dude, that's fucking amazing.
They Trojan horse the party of the year.
It's insane because me and Matt, like they're who he was staying with them, we were so bummed out. And like Matt's like, fuck, man, I'm just going to go home. I'm going to call an Uber. Matt calls an Uber. It's like 20 minutes away. He's like, fuck it. Let's go party for 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So Matt and I walk in the party and we see Cody and then we're like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
It's so sick.
That makes so the rad. Party so much more fun you like sneak in.
Dude, it was so fucking
the
insane.
The visual of like them hiding, like literally like, they Trojan horse this
they
party.
They fucking Trojan horsed it and like just snuck in like to like the most exclusive-ish party, whatever. I don't know. But yeah. It was
like
so
exclusive
funny.
Coachella party.
You know what the best part of that is like, everyone would think it'd be such a breeze for them to get in, right? Because it's like, it's like Kelsey, Cody, their whole crew, whatever. And like the fact that we're all still like hiding in the back of a Suburban to get in, it's like the best.
I know.
It humbles us a little.
I know, totally. And I
which
felt,
was great.
Yeah, and I felt so bad. Like I couldn't get him in right away, like just normally.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like a piece of shit. But
wait, so was Happy Hour and Guess putting on this party for the weekend?
Yeah, so Happy Hour and Guess put everything on, and then they wanted to have we were gonna have a party Friday, but ended up having it Sunday. Yeah, it was like the weekend's party plus Happy Hour and Guess, I guess.
So fun.
Yeah.
And how was that? Did you get to meet him?
No,
because he was DJing the whole time.
He was DJing, but it was cool. It was fun.
It was funny too, because you know Tien.
Yes.
So he's like the biggest Blackpink fan. Do you know this?
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
He's obsessed with Blackpink, and I look at him, and he's just like, Jennie from Blackpink is here. And I was like, go talk to her. He's like, I can't go talk to her. He was tripping out because his dream girl was like literally 5 feet away from us.
That's amazing.
Awesome. Jennie from Blackpink is here. Like Tien's like,
That's the best.
It was awesome.
I mean, I feel like when you're in those situations and you're like next to your idol or like someone you would like love, it's like, what do you say?
Totally.
You freeze up.
Maybe you don't meet your idols.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't. Yeah.
Like, exactly.
I don't know.
Also, the weekend was DJing this party, but he wasn't using CDJs. He was DJing.
He was using his phone, right?
DJing off his phone. And at one point, he played the same song on loop 4 times in a row. And he goes, you guys want to hear this again? And everyone's like, no. And then he would play it again. And he had a mic playing it off his phone. So he was playing it off his phone on one hand. He had a mic in the other, and he was singing to a song, his own song. That he's playing off of his phone.
Wait, his own song?
It was his own song. And he's playing it off of his phone while singing to it.
What song was it?
Do you remember?
No,
I think I have it.
After like 4 a.m. there, it got kind of dark because it was like Sunday, last day of Coachella. I'm like, we got to fucking go home.
I don't know how you guys were up that late on Sunday.
It was nuts.
I was up till probably 3 on Sunday. You have it? Yes. Low life.
Yeah. So he played that 4 times in a row.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, I heard that during his set, I don't know if this is true because I got it from TikTok, but I heard that on his set, that like voicemail recording that he played was like from Bella Hadid.
Is that true?
I don't know, but I think it's fun to believe.
Wait, what was the voicemail?
She was like, hey, like, I'm sorry. I just want to apologize for everything I did, but I just want to say I miss you. Like, let's hang soon or something like that. And then it like went into a song. It was pretty hype.
Question for you. And I'm not up with like the Young T, but Sammy Hayes was there. And aren't they best friends with like all of the Weeknd's ex-girlfriends?
That's what I thought. But honestly, I'm not that familiar with that whole crew. Like personally, just from like, I feel like TikToks I see.
Okay.
I've heard that she and her and Bella and all them were really good friends. So I don't know.
Do you think
because aren't they dating now?
They're dating. So don't do you
who's
think
dating?
The Weeknd and
one of the Sammy Hayes girls.
Who's Sammy Hayes?
Like Fi's sisters, the twins.
Oh, fuck.
I don't know, but I'm curious because like I've heard that they're dating, but from what I knew, they were best friends with Bella Hadid and Selena.
Yeah, I think that. That's such a tough situation because this world gets really small really quick.
It's way too small.
It is.
We need to expand.
I know.
And
I know.
Like go like a bunch of people just need to move like out of the country, maybe to like some island.
I feel like we just need more like island, diversity but in regards to like careers, different types of careers in like the circle because it's literally all like the same type of person, which is fine and it's great and it's like I'm here for it, but sometimes I'm like, God, I need a little bit of like athlete in my life or whatever.
Yeah, I wig out sometimes.
I need like a finance dude to talk to or like, you know what I mean? Like a random.
That's why like you stay in touch with your hometown friends, right?
Yeah.
That's why I love having my hometown friends
Me
a lot,
too.
You know, around. you know, I introduced them to all my friends, like, like our friend
he's
Armin.
He's the best at having like friends from home who he keeps around for his entire life and introduces them to this friend group. Like, gives us like such great perspective.
Yes, that's how I am too. Yeah, I love that. It's so important to
me. It's so nice to have.
Well, like, speaking of your friends, so right when I got to the festival, I'm like just walking around and someone starts yelling at me and runs up, and it was Alicia.
Oh, shut up!
And like, it was one of those moments where we now know each other from social media, yeah, that we've never met in person, so we had this familiarity with each other, and we were both like so excited to be like, oh my God! Like, we know each other, but we've never met.
Yeah.
And it was awesome, and we were talking about you. So
isn't she the best?
Yeah, and like, it was because of you, so I appreciate that. It was really fun to like meet her and talk to her.
I know. I feel like I'm always talking to her about like people I meet, so I've been talking about, I was like, oh my gosh, Brett went to IU, and she knows how obsessed I am with IU.
She knows this. She knows a song.
Oh, she knows the song. Right. She hasn't memorized. So yeah, basically, she knew exactly who
you
should
have sang it to her when you saw her. When you saw her,
she would have freaked out.
At your birthday party, I knew you were going to be there, and I was trying to get Daniel Weber. He was stuck in Malibu, and he couldn't get an Uber, and I was trying to get him to come to the party to sing This Is Nana for you for your birthday.
Everyone's like, what's going on?
And I was going to just have him show up, and he was drunk. So he would have just showed up so sloppy and just started screaming This Is Indiana for both, just for the two of your enjoyment.
I want him to come to my birthday party.
When's
and sing
birthday?
It. June 25th.
Oh, we should definitely do that. We should have an Indiana-themed birthday.
Indiana-themed birthday.
Yeah. I'll get Bryce out here, too. We'll do it.
Oh, my God.
But they're here right
That'd
now.
That'd be sick.
You want to get lunch with them?
Yes.
All right, I'll text them after this. Bryce is visiting right now.
Speaking of Indiana people, can we talk about your experience with Will Sheehy? Because I
love Will Sheehy.
You don't even know Will Sheehy.
I fucking love Will Sheehy.
So
sexy.
He's so hot. Wait, can I show you a photo? He's so hot.
Wait,
is he married now? Because this is embarrassing.
He's so hot.
But if he's not married, will she hit me? The poor guy.
So one of my close friends from IU is married to Steve Kerr's son. And it's just like this.
Steve Kerr's son. Okay.
Nick. And it's just this weird small world thing. Where,
and to say who Steve Kerr is for people that don't know.
Steve Kerr is the coach of the Golden State Warriors.
And he played for the Chicago Bulls.
Yes.
Won some
the
chips.
Last Dance team.
What fucking
the game-winning shot. Game six. Game
he
five.
Did,
game
yeah,
six.
Game f- I think game C. Oh,
whatever
fuck.
It was.
Watch The Last Dance on Netflix.
Incredible.
It's amazing.
It's really good.
I love, and I'm out of all of the teams in the NBA, if I have to pick a team that I love the most, it's
Golden
the Warriors.
Golden State Warriors.
I love Clay. I love Steph. Jordan Poole now is amazing. So I'm.
What about Draymond?
What?
All right,
Draymond's great too. Obviously.
Oh my God, he's so hot.
Wait, so it's just it's a funny coincidence that like one of my good friends from college, Kendall, is now married
it's
to Steve's
crazy.
Son, and she's a huge fan of our podcast. And she was watching the last episode and saw the clip of you talking about Will.
Oh shit!
And how hot he is.
He's so cute.
He's got some fucking biceps on him, man.
He's a babe.
Damn, good physique.
I know.
Is he still ball or is he? He's a coach.
No,
he's a coach,
I think
right?
He's like older there now. Is. He was always a lot older than me.
What year was this?
That had to have been 2013.
How old is he?
He was a year older than me.
He's got veiny biceps.
Now.
He's 30. Okay, mm-hmm. So I would have been like, I think I was like literally in middle school when I was watching him.
Oh my God. So, but anyway.
And my dad used to tease me. He'd be like, there's Will.
Oh my. You got to meet him.
Did he ball in college?
Yeah, for IU.
Yeah.
And we have like season tickets like
good?
Right up
Wait,
close.
Wait, what if he's single?
Don't do me like that.
So anyway, Kendall hits me up and she's like, I'm watching this episode and I'm dying right now because Will works for Steve now.
Shut up.
And they're like, we just showed the clip to Steve and his wife and they think it's the funniest thing ever. So then I was like, I thought that was the funniest thing. So now I'm thinking we all need to go to a Warriors game and try to get you and Will to meet.
Nope.
I think that's the next step in this.
I would cry.
But I'll ask Kendall.
I wouldn't know what to say. I would freeze up. That'd be like meeting my idol.
That's what I'm saying. Do you meet your crush as your idol? Like, I don't, it's a big decision.
I'm texting Kendall right now and asking if
okay, it says he's 30. I'm 24. That's not that bad of an age difference.
You know the rule? Do you know the rule in dating?
No.
It's half your age plus 7 for a guy. So if he's 30, half his age.
Who made that rule
is 15. It's just the rule.
Leo?
No, it's the rule.
No, Leo didn't make that rule up.
Leo definitely.
No, he like, doesn't not abide by the
he
rule.
He does not abide. He would go to jail if that was a
so
rule.
So 22 or higher is who he needs to date then.
Yeah,
right?
you're in the clear.
I'm
25.
Yeah, Natalie's 25.
You're
forking good, right?
In the clear.
Yeah. How old are you?
30.
Oh yeah.
One.
You're
fine. Oh fuck, forgot.
Wait, that's a good age range. Because
yeah,
I feel like
girls
are more mature.
Little,
yeah.
She's definitely almost as mature
Wait, but
as I
is
am.
He, I need to know if he's single.
I'm asking Kendall right now.
Okay, we're asking live. Oh, this is so embarrassing. He's going to be like, who the fork?
What if you guys met on Raya?
I feel like he's not on Raya.
Yeah, yeah, probably not. You never know.
Maybe.
Dude, he was so cool in college.
He was so cool.
Like, dude, that team, I know I talked about it last time, but the team with, like, Oladipo, Jordy.
Yeah.
Even, like, I sent you the picture
Yogi Ferrell.
With Pritchard.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, that was hilarious.
I'm never a fan taking pictures with people. Even my whole life, I've never been that guy. I saw Pritchard outside of, what was it, like,
Village Deli.
No, Bluebird.
Oh yeah,
is that what it's called? Bluebird.
Yeah, iconic.
I saw him outside of Bluebird and took a selfie with him, and I still have it. Full.
He's married.
He's married.
Poor me.
You gotta find another Woshihi. Like,
does he have a brother?
Does he have brother?
Twins, actually.
You know what? I'm happy for her.
No, she hasn't made.
Yeah, she does. I'm very jealous, but I'm very happy for her.
Oh my god.
Okay, so Steve wants what? What's the deal? Are we going to a game?
I think we should go to a game.
Yeah.
I'll ask Kendall. I think we can go to a game.
That'd be so fun.
I think that'd be awesome.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Which game? They're in the playoffs right now.
So as of right now, they're up 2-0 against Denver. And Denver is down a couple, like two of their best players, two out of three of their best players.
Who are they missing?
Well, they've been missing Murray all season. Oh, yeah. The ACL tier last year. And then
Jamal,
yeah. And who we saw at catch.
Yeah,
right
we
after
did. We did see Jamal Murray at catch.
That was crazy.
That was nuts.
You want to know a crazy story about basketball players and catch? Is my 21st birthday, I went there with my mom. And I was like, you know, let me get the hit me cake. Let me get a few shots, whatever. And it was right after, I want to say it was like the ESPYs or like one of those big like sports award shows. And it was when James Harden won like some really big award. So the whole Houston Rockets team went to catch. They were in the bar and they all bought me shots for my 21st birthday.
No way.
And I was dying. I was like, yes, my mom and I were like, woo.
Did you go to the strip club afterwards with James?
No, I wish. Okay. My mom and I with James at the strip club.
You and James crazy. And your mom?
Yeah. Me, James, my mom.
That's fucking, no, he's hilarious. Nuts. I love James Harden.
Yeah.
How old was your mom when she had you?
I honestly have no idea.
Is your mom younger than your dad?
Yeah, my mom's 10 years younger than my dad.
Oh, that's interesting.
My mom's 54, my dad's 64, and I'm 24.
So she was 30.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which is
that's
crazy.
That's a good age.
Yeah. Remember they met at the blackjack table in the Bahamas?
Yeah, in the Bahamas, so, and then they moved to Indiana, right?
Yeah.
She's from Canada?
Mm-hmm.
Your mother? Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. For us, like, I think we're both older than our parents were when they had us.
My dad was 26.
No way.
My parents were 29.
Yeah.
It's so trippy.
It is weird to think about. I'm like, when am I going to have kids? Like, I feel like I should. Because my dad, he's pretty young.
Uh-huh.
And he does jiu-jitsu. So I'm like, I want my dad to be young enough to be able to teach my kid jiu-jitsu.
Oh.
You know, before he gets all like old and brittle.
Because that would be so cool.
And like, take him surfing, yeah.
Wait, so, when do you, like realistically?
I think 33.
You'll have kids.
That's a great age.
It's like a great age.
And
yeah.
You're 31.
I'm 31. That's really close.
Do you want to be married before you have kids?
I don't think so.
So I was just going to say this too.
I don't
I've always thought it was so much cooler to find like a partner, have a kid first, like before you get married. I think I'd rather be a young dad than be young married. And our friend Jordan recently
had a baby. He's 29.
Who is that? Do I know who that is?
From Hubie.
Oh,
he's the CEO of Hubie. Yeah. He's amazing.
I love him.
So he's okay.
I just followed him on Instagram.
He's awesome.
He's like, if he was a social media, if he was an influencer, he'd be the best.
Oh,
by the
really?
Way, he, by the
you,
way, he posts.
You two would be the top two influencers you know, like, in the world. You already are.
He's fucking, he's insane. He's so good.
Wait, why? What do you mean?
Just because he's like always like posting like interesting shit and like always shouting things out. Like he doesn't give a fuck.
Oh yeah,
and like that's amazing.
No,
I
don't.
You know?
I'll throw up like 80 stories.
Whatever,
I don't give a
who
fuck.
Gives a fuck. Yeah.
He's also so supportive of his
very
friends.
Very supportive.
Like, any of his
yeah.
friends like accomplish something.
He'll
like,
post something. Like, yeah,
whether they're 20 or 80 years old. If
no,
a friend
I
of his,
posted
post
in.
It.
I was wearing a Hubie hat. He posted it like 3 times. I was like, thanks, man.
No, he's awesome.
He's,
no,
he's
I
like,
love him.
He's like he'll gas you up. He like
no, he's the best.
He's amazing. And so he's okay. So I first met him and at one of our shows in Boston.
Uh-huh.
And he's a maniac. He's an amazing person, but he knows how to like he can party.
Okay.
Right, and he has a good time, and like he'll go to like a club and he'll just like buy a table like randomly, but so this guy's like on, like he's like working hard, he's like we're going out playing hard, and then it's so funny his beautiful girlfriend got pregnant, became his baby.
And she's awesome.
I don't know, she's amazing too.
She's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
I didn't want to say it, but
she's beautiful. A babe.
No, she's great.
But then he like it's so funny. Anytime we would do anything, he's like. I'm going to be a dad. I can't. I got to save some money for some diapers. It's so funny because, like, he like became so responsible as soon as she was pregnant.
Oh, really?
Like, more responsible, I guess. Yeah.
And they're not married.
They're not married. No. But he's still fun. So like, don't think like just when he comes to LA, just because he has a kid, he can't be fun.
Oh no, so, he's fun.
Yeah.
His perception on it, I thought was like so refreshing because he was like, if I had to choose between spending money on a baby and spending money on a wedding, I'd rather spend it on a baby. And I was like,
yeah. Wow.
That's like really refreshing. It's like, because it's expensive to get married, so why not just wait until you're in a financially stable position and totally. Focus on raising your kid.
Well, getting married is essentially a glorified contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. How old is Jordan?
29.
Same age as
he's going to turn 30 in June. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. You're thinking both kids before marriage.
Yeah.
But would you be opposed to getting married?
No, I wouldn't be opposed, but I like...
Do you want to get married?
Natalie and I are in like the same boat about marriage. Like, oh, yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't want to jump the gun just too soon, you know? I like to have the party.
Your parents are divorced, right?
Yes.
And are Natalie's?
They were never married. Yeah. So
do you think that makes you have a unique experience? Like
reservation?
Or a unique on it? Perspective on
well,
it?
Todd's also in a unique position.
Why?
So his parents are amazing, but they're still, like, best friends.
Yeah. Yeah, same with my parents are good friends. So.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's great because it really started happening. So they divorced when I was 13, and then my dad had like a 3-year relationship. And like him and my mom didn't get along when I was like in high school, I think.
That's so hard when and you're that young.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was okay with it. I kind of saw it as like I get to get away with a lot more, you know?
Okay.
And so, but then my sister was going to high school and she was like this crazy soccer athlete and like super uh-huh. busy going to like tournaments and stuff. So my dad came over a lot more and he would spend the night on the couch just to take her to school and then to soccer and everything.
Cute.
And then eventually he moved into our bedroom downstairs.
No way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So and now they're like best friends. So
see my parents live like 5 minutes from each other and that I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
Because like if they didn't get along, that would drive me bananas.
Right?
Because I have friends, their parent will be like, you need to tell your dad this. Like, they won't talk to each other.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's wild.
And then that puts the kid in such an uncomfortable, like,
totally, yeah.
unwanted position.
Yeah. It's so sad. Mm. Like, yeah, at one point, you're, like, best friends, and you make a baby together.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you're living together, and then all of a sudden, you can't stand each other.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's, like...
And you can't talk.
Yeah.
And have a normal conversation.
Like, what? I would never want that.
I used to be so anti-divorce.
Yeah.
And after seeing my parents, like, successfully have a solid relationship. Yeah, a happy and healthy relationship afterwards and be happier, like, moved on, it makes me totally almost have a positive outlook on divorce now. Like, it's better to be happy than to just force yourself to stay together.
Exactly. I almost think it's more pressure since, like, my parents have been together since my mom was 17 and my dad was 18.
Oh, my gosh.
They met welcome week freshman year of college.
No way. At IU.
At IU. In the same dorm that I lived in. So that really screwed me up.
Yeah.
And seeing how they've grown so much together and evolved together. And
his parents are amazing.
And, like,
I want to meet them.
Inseparable best friends. They like... can read each other's minds in a lot of ways. My mom still holds grudges against him on bad dates from like 40 years ago, and it's hilarious. Like, to see that, I think it's more pressure. Like, me and my little sister always joke, like, that's harder to live up to and think about marriage when you've seen such a successful one because you don't know any different. And that's like me and Danielle always do joke, or like, man, we thought we were going to find the love of our lives welcome week. And when that week went by, it's all been downhill since then.
Yeah.
And that's really tough. So it's interesting to always get the different.
It's always like grass is always greener on the other side.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like I have such a pessimistic outlook on marriage because of my parents.
Yeah. And I mean, I do and I don't. It's,
yeah.
You know? It's
I don't know.
To me, sometimes it's like, whatever.
I'm like, I'll probably get divorced.
I thought it was just so normal for me.
Oh, yeah.
I just like didn't even like think twice about like, whoa, this is so fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's like, oh, this is life.
Wait, I have a question actually for you, Todd, because you and Natalie were friends before you started dating, right? For a while?
Yep.
Like besties or like, explain this.
No, I mean, we're like... Like, we're friends, not besties.
Yeah.
We'd be around each other all the time. I was probably see her almost every day because David came over and she'd come over.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know when it started kind of, like, becoming more flirtatious. Like, I would text her, like, very flirty.
Uh-huh.
Just because I had, like, this giant itch. And I'm like, oh, she's like just so beautiful and like cool and like, you know, just like down, like just down to earth sounds so cliche, but just like.
But she is.
Mellow and cool and like normal. Mm-hmm. And I always like loved her style. I thought she was just super cute. And then I would start, I would text her, no response. And then I would text her randomly again. I would wait a little bit. And then she maybe like kind of like started texting me again. It became more flirtatious with both of us. But she started doing it kind of like as a joke, like just like to mess with me.
Yeah.
And like mess around. And then, like, the feelings for me became, like, more and more and more. Oh. And, like, I want to hang out with her. And like so, like, the first time we kind of hooked up was outside their old house at the fireplace.
Uh-huh.
And, like, when she gave me attention for the first time, I was like, holy fuck, this is crazy. Like, oh, my God.
Question. Did you, when you met her, did you always have a crush or did it kind of develop over time?
I think, no, actually, if, when I first met her, I thought she was really cute. And I asked Dave if she was single.
Okay, so yeah, you always kind of had a crush.
Yeah, but she had a boyfriend then.
Okay.
And then I left it alone, and then she moved to L.A. Still just hang, like, I thought she was uh-huh. cute, obviously, and then we were friends.
You had a girlfriend when her and her boyfriend broke up.
Yeah, and then I was, yeah, dating someone when her and her boyfriend broke up. Obviously left it alone, and then just life continued. I broke up, and then she was single, like kind of like perfect time.
Copy.
You know?
Okay. So. Do you think that there's something to the chase? You were more attracted to her because she wasn't playing hard to get. She was just hard to get,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Definitely at first, that's like kind of like an element that drew me in.
Because I feel like a lot of girls are like, I have to play it cool.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
So I'm like, I'm speaking on behalf of girls. Yeah. I'm like, do you think it's just like advice for girls? Do you think it's, you just got to play it, do your thing and like let a man kind of chase you?
Totally. And she did her thing and like law of attraction. Like she drew me in. And then we got to know each other more and more and more. And then, like, it just became, like, this giant, like, huge spark. Which at first, like, she, like, kind of, like, didn't give me much attention.
Uh-huh.
And then that definitely drew me in. And then it became
really?
What it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I feel like there's a lot of girl and guy friends that have always wondered, like, I kind of want to, I, like, kind of have a crush on them, but I don't want to ruin our friendship. Mm-hmm. And there's a big friend group. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think people dating when they're friends first, I think that's great.
Okay.
I think that's
like
the best thing ever. I think because you already kind of like know each other and then you kind of like go into it and like see what's there and like things develop. And I think that's
you
like.
You agree?
No, I definitely
beautiful.
Agree.
Beautiful.
I think it's difficult though. I think it's actually more important for the girl to act on it if you guys are friends first.
I think so too.
Wait, what do you mean?
So like, I think like if you're meeting a girl for the first time.
A guy
on
it.
And you're not friends. I think it's more important that the guy is the one who initiates the date, slides into the DM.
Interesting.
Like, initiates this courting process. But if you're already really good friends and there's tension or feelings start to arise, I think it's more important that the girl steps up and addresses it than the guy because it's. I think there's this, like, preconceived notion that, guys...
just want to hook up.
Guys just want to hook up, or it's too hard for a girl to be able to have friends who are guys. So if there's a emotion there, I think it's more important that the girl steps up.
Also,
that's interesting.
When you're in a friend group, and like you start to develop feelings for each other,
yeah.
Because then, like, you're like thinking, like, oh shit, like we do this and it doesn't work out, then we run some sort of like inner friendship circle, or people are gonna judge us. Mm-hmm. And so for a while, we snuck around for like the longest time.
Well,
shut up.
Yeah,
I remember that there was like a joke going around that, and there was like a handful of guys that were gonna be on this. I think it was like Ilya and
like this bachelor
Jeff.
Thing.
They were gonna do like a bachelor style TV show.
It was gonna be like, yeah, me, Jason, Ilya.
Wait, shut
like,
up.
Like we're gonna like film it ourselves.
That's hilarious. And you should do that.
Well,
for your
anymore.
Channel.
Oh, and have Brett as a bachelor.
Yeah, but like you should, and you
amazing.
Could be the host.
Be the bachelor.
That'd be sick.
And you could have people rotate.
Me and David Alvarez the host. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it was great. But I remember we were actually outside of that. I don't want to say whose house it was, but we were outside that big mansion up in the hills, and we're all sitting outside, and everyone was talking about this TV show, and like people were like, "Who do you think would win if we actually did this?" And we're all like joking about it, and Todd pulls me aside and whispers, "He goes, I kissed her last night." And this is months before anyone else knew. And I was like, oh my God. And you're like, I've had a crush on her for the longest time. And you were just like so giddy. And I think I was maybe one of the first people to hear about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. And then like going back to like the group of friends and everyone's like, yes, who do you think would win? And then like I have this like information. I was
like,
oh my God.
Yeah, that's funny. I forgot about that.
So I don't know. When do you think that was?
Cute.
I don't,
2019 sometime, right?
Probably
at the end of 2020.
No, it was before
COVID. Oh.
It was way before COVID.
Because we came back from tour end of 2019, and like I had already like had this idea in my head. I wanted to write Natalina.
Yeah.
because it was
iconic song.
Thank you. It was someone's birthday. We went to Big Bear, and Natalie had this phone case that said Natalina on it. And I'm like, kind of like a little buzz. I'm like, oh, let's trade cases, huh? And she's like, okay, here you go. And so I had Natalina on the back of my phone for like months.
Cute.
Yeah. And then that's where, Brett, I've told this story so many times. Sorry. Brett helped me get Natalina together, and then it became the track.
That's crazy. And then it went bananas, right?
Yeah. It was, the timing was insane because David did the whole billboard ride, like my drunk text and like Natalina.
That was that's one of my favorite vlogs.
It's
the
great.
The billboard one.
To like have a billboard for.
Of your drunk text.
For a debut release.
Yeah, it was. The timing was like, that's when I was like, wow, like the universe is really like on our and my
You're
side.
You're like, I must be living
like,
right.
Like, this is fucking nuts. I'm about to date Natalie. Like, I can feel it. We went on a date, went to the Kings Ducks game. I had this like amazing song out. The song bangs. This vlog is crazy good. And like, wow, this is like fucking life. And then COVID happened.
Oh,
but, you know, COVID probably brought you guys closer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
then you guys were kind of just forced to be together all the time.
Yeah, too. And her and David were really busy like that beginning of that year. So I think COVID definitely helped our relationship grow more and more.
I'm sure.
So, which was nice.
That's crazy. Yeah. That is the most iconic, like having your drunk text on a billboard.
I know.
Hilarious.
I was so stupid too, because like I knew what I was doing and I would do it just to like get her attention and like to like. Reverse that on me and just slap me in the like a nice slap. It was like, wow, that was touche.
That was good.
You know? She was like totally playing a character because she would act like she wasn't interested.
Oh.
She had no idea. And I would see these texts. She was like
that
in
she
it.
Was
she was back
it.
And like,
dude, never, she was crazier than he was
right?
on these texts. And she like exposes him on this billboard. And then when she finally got exposed, I was like, thank God.
I exposed her in the video. I'm like, what the fuck? She like literally asked me to cuddle. And like David pans the camera to her and she's like, what?
I was like, yo.
You're right?
Yeah. She's acting like she's so innocent. I'm like, dude.
And I'm getting all this shit. Like, I'm just hitting her up. I'm the only one. I'm like, no.
We haven't talked about this part.
I know. Yeah. You're right.
That's hilarious.
So, I mean, I think that's when like life's great right now. But like, that's when I really like just manifestation and just like, I don't like not to like go on about the universe, but I think it really like it feels you and you feel it, you know, and like
we've been really big in the like positive energy.
Yeah,
the
me too.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Yes.
So are you at that time, were you doing that way more than you are like, I guess now?
Yeah, no, I started doing that like a few years ago before Scott and I went on tour, and then that we went on tour and then like manifest like Natalie and just believe in myself and believe in it. And like,
what do you
just
mean
picture,
you manifested
like,
Natalie?
It manifested like dating her.
Wait, okay. Walk like, me through this. What would you do?
So like I would like just picture in my head like I'm gonna she's in, like we're gonna be together.
So would you write it down?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, on a journal.
A journal, yeah.
Okay. And what do you write?
I would just talk about my day and then like talking to Natalie and like I feel like we'd be a great match and like I would just like you know I would be like pretty persistent with her at the same time and like you know just chat with her like as a normal friend and then like just like things started to move. And,
would you write it like because some people will be like I am dating Will Sheehy.
So
I know. Or they'll be like I want, but I heard it's better to do it in like present tense.
Yeah, I am.
So you do.
I didn't do that. I journal
you do that right now.
I journal on a yellow lined paper, but then I just recently got and then I would try to manifest on that as well in the journal. But recently I got like an actual manifestation book. Where you don't journal and you just say you're like what you want, like what you're gonna be doing.
Oh, whoa.
So I would just like talk about it and like think about it and picture it in my head.
And Natalie.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, bitches are gonna like hear this and be like I am dating Matthew McConaughey.
You just gotta believe in yourself because your body doesn't know what's going on. If you can like, you get your body to believe and like, you know.
There's something to it.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy shit. I keep telling people, you gotta like, I think Supernatural by Joe Dispenza is like, it's like eye opening.
I just wrote down some things that I want to happen.
What'd you write down?
Is it like a wish, like on a birthday where if you tell people then it won't come true?
No.
No, I don't want to talk about
it. But remember we were talking about it with Harry yesterday where you should let people know about it once it becomes true.
Yeah, he said don't talk about it
until
it happens.
Because it could be, it develops bad energy with like what you're, kind of like
I haven't heard that.
You know,
I know he's huge on manifestation and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about it until it happens.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Period. That's interesting.
Period.
What about if you, people, like for instance, you had Natalie in mind. What if you don't have someone in mind? Do you like write like, I want 6 foot or something? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
do you write like.
I don't think I would do that because in that sense, I think like before Natalie, I was just like living life in like a different way where just like I would just go out, hang out with my friends, do my work and just have fun, and like whatever happened happened, like whatever came at me, like I really like believe like when you're not like looking for someone, that's when things come.
Totally agree.
And so I think that's like really important, just to like, you know, obviously you grow as like you grow as a human like that too, and like I think people are attracted to like say like you're like doing that, like being you're on your own, you're happy, you're enjoying life. I think people are really attracted to that.
Totally. Right? Agree. So, like,
you also said something, not to go full circle, but you said it about 40 minutes ago, and you said something in a way that I've wanted to like, I've been trying to think of the right way to say it. And that's that, like, you kind of said this to Ty, like, you need to start treating YouTube again like you're just starting.
Oh, yeah.
And not to go full circle, but I think one of the things that you've been trying, we've been talking a lot about is like these next phases of your career. And, you know, we've been talking about the manifestation of it. But a lot of it is like, you know, okay, you remember like when you started high school as a freshman, you felt so small like, and nervous, and the senior seemed so much older. And then by the time you were a senior, you were the shit. But then you go to college and all of a sudden you're a freshman again and it starts right over.
That's so true.
And I think like, but that doesn't, but you've grown so much from now you're a college kid and not, but before you were a high school kid. And I think it's this, you're in a similar stage where it's like these last 4 years of your career as a YouTuber and an influencer, it's like you went from freshman to senior, you got to the top, and now as you enter this next phase and you evolve, you might have to start as a freshman again, and that's really hard to put yourself in that mindset, but it's time to kind of elevate yourself to that next level, but be open to starting over. And I think that's like really great.
Wow, that's
great,
really
that
good, Brian.
That. Yeah. And I think that's something that maybe as you manifest and think about and be like, what's this next phase, like be okay to start at square one again.
I love that,
because you've learned so much since then.
No,
so.
Totally.
Last few questions for y'all. I guess I want to ask both of you, because it's called Making Moves, what advice would you have, because I know you didn't move far, but you moved very far across the country to, you know, come move here. What advice do you have to someone that wants to make it big in the entertainment world or make it big in LA and they have no connections and they just moved here?
I think it's this idea that you need to kind of stay naive in the beginning.
Ooh, that's cool.
So I was actually talking about this with someone the other day. Like when I first moved to LA, I just was so excited about all the new experiences that I didn't realize how hard things were going to be. Mm-mm. Like I was paying like $300 a month to sleep on someone's couch. Mm-hmm. And I was so happy just to have a job at Atlantic, to be around new people, to be finally be in LA that didn't matter to me. And, you know, as you grow and evolve too, you get to become more and more comfortable. But I don't know, I just always would try to be like, you know, LA can try to change you, but if you just continue to stay true to yourself too, which sounds so cliche, but like.
But it's what makes you stand out.
Yeah, like honestly, people will gravitate way more towards you if you appreciate appreciate who you are, stay naive, and then continue to just like put yourself in a position to be like, all right, I'm gonna go out every night, be open-minded to meeting new people, take those experiences with what they are and where they go. Like if I didn't show up to Dave and Buster's randomly one night 3.5 years ago, I wouldn't have met Wolfie Cindy, and she wouldn't have taken me to, you know, Saddle Ranch 2 months later, and I wouldn't have met Todd there and Natalie and Zane and all of them. And that wouldn't have led to a year and a half after that when COVID hit, that became my friend group. But it's like, you can trace all of these moments back to these weird experiences where you're like, if I wasn't just open-minded that one night or just willing to surround myself with interesting people or try new things, like, you know, these paths would have never opened up.
Totally.
And I think you create your own luck as well when it comes to that.
I love that, creating your own luck. I think that's so true. Like when you move here, I always tell people to be a yes man. Like just say yes to everything. Because you just never know.
You never know.
What room you might end up in or who you might meet. I think that's so true. Do you have anything to say?
I was just gonna say that? Like, I think each night that like, or each day that you kind of like, go get into trouble or you do whatever, like you kind of treat it like as like you're a kid and you have the mom that tells you to get outside and play with these kids and like get your knees dirty, get in trouble, like, you know, climb a tree.
Oh, that's whatever. So true. And like, it's cute.
And like it kind of like hit me this weekend. I was with my buddy Matt, who I mentioned earlier, and he was with a different friend group at Coachella, and we met up. I told him our phones, like we had no service, his phone was dying, And I'm like, I'm by the handicap sign, like on main stage. And he's like, he texted me, didn't go through. He calls me, he's like, I'm here, but I can't hear you. And I found him, and we were kind of like together. Like he was like with our group for like the rest of the night. And then he stayed with us, and then we met up again like the next day. But he kept going. He's like a very positive person. And he was just saying like, I was like, oh, what if this happens? This happens, and like, blah, 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 should we do this? He's like, bro, like, whatever we do, it's going to be like what we're supposed to do. Like, just go with the flow. Like, who cares, man? If I didn't, like, you know, meet up with you this, then I wouldn't have seen Swedish House Mafia. It wouldn't have been like the best night of my life, or I wouldn't have been able to do this. And I'm like, damn, like, his perspective and outlook on like the a crazy weekend in life kind of like changed my perspective, which has been like the same, but it really kind of like enabled it again. And so on that, I just think like, and like bringing up the fucking universe again, I just think it's really important. Just like, you know, like just do a bunch of things. Like be a yes man, like you said, like, you know, like try to like stay positive and like enjoy like the little things and the big things, mm-hmm. you know? And then for me, like I didn't move very far. So I'm lucky I had a family like an hour away, mm-hmm. which made it really nice. But yeah, I just think like, trying to like, you know, like just continue to like stay in that like positive energy, because I know once it gets like negative, then your life's fucked. Like for like that time being,
so you know, true.
Like nothing positive comes out of being negative.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, so it's like, but
we talk about that a lot. And I think another thing too, like that I try to tell people, okay, so for example, like I'll speak to every semester, I'll go speak to like different songwriting classes or, you know, aspiring artists who are in college or whatever. And I'll go speak to these students. And I know walking in that all of them are, you know, when it comes to music, they're more talented than me than I'll ever be able to be, because I could have never gotten into music school for music. So I started to kind of think about, like, what has made me successful in music? So I can kind of pinpoint like the advice that I can give them. But I actually think this works for anybody who's thinking about moving to LA. And it's like, they always ask me like, what do you look for when you want to work with an artist or a songwriter? And I kind of broke it down to three things. And number one is, more importantly than anything, do you have self-awareness? Do you have the self-awareness to know what you're great at, to network, to build relationships, to understand like when things are becoming difficult, how to step up?
That is so true.
There's so many things about that self-awareness plays into that you just need to have. Number two is work ethic, because you could have all the self-awareness in the world, but if you don't work just as hard, if not harder than everybody else, that self-awareness is kind of going to waste. And then number three, after those two things, is talent. It's like, okay, well, you could have all the self-awareness in the world to, you know, like we said, increase your probability of success, all of those things. You could have all the work ethic to put yourself every day in the best position to be successful. But if you're not talented, find yourself in a position where you get lucky, but it's going to be a lot more difficult to sustain it. So you also have to have talent.
Also think you need to find like a core group of friends, which is tough out here.
Yeah.
So I was lucky enough that I came out here with like my best friend from high school.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to have people around you that are, you know, solid, you know, a good group of friends. Like you said before, like it's like you are who you surround yourself with.
Yeah. Right? Do you think there's something, like, how do you know who's a good person, like, to keep around? How do you spot the bad ones?
Ooh, I mean, it just depends on your judge of character.
Like, trusting your instincts?
Yeah, trusting your instincts and then hanging out with them long enough. Because if you do hang out with someone long enough, they're going to really show their true colors, I guess, right? You
know? I think LA, though, it's hard because people are good at scheming a little.
Yeah.
More than that.
It's kinda, yeah.
More than anyone else.
You
gotta
find those Midwesterners.
I think Todd has one of the best guts on people of anyone
I
know.
Yeah, you keep saying that.
And I like to think, too, that like I get a really good gut feeling from someone when I meet them. But you could, there's so many crazy people out here. There's so many different types of people. Like, at the end of the day, it's never going to be like, there's no one who's perfect at being able to figure out what someone's true motives are, who they are. And I think you just got to put at least a little bit of trust and faith into the universe. Try to hope that you're surrounding yourself with great people, trust your friends on their opinions of people, and then just continue to move forward, you know? And it's like, at the end of the day, like, as long as you have a few friends who you know that they're going to stick around, you can test out these new people and hope that, you know, sometimes like someone's meant to be in your life too, for the lessons they teach you or who they introduce you to. And
Or for a season.
And that's really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Season friends.
A season. Yeah. One of my favorite questions that I've been like asking a lot of people lately, because my friends and I were having a deep talk and I don't know why. We were playing that. Have you ever played We're Not Really Strangers, the game?
I love that game.
Oh my God, it's so fun.
It's great.
You should play with Natalie. It's a good one.
Oh, I broke up with a girl once because we played that game and it made me realize I didn't like her.
Okay, maybe don't.
No, no, they've been together long enough.
Y'all would vibe with it. It's very, it gets you like into like a deep like conversation. But one of the questions is, or we thought of this one, it wasn't on a card, but it was, who exceeds your expectations in life? Who's someone?
Who exceeds?
Mine immediately, I think of Alicia.
Alicia?
Like, I feel like she constantly is exceeding my expectations. Like in a work setting, in a friend aspect, as a family member, like to her family.
Yeah.
Just to other people she doesn't know. Like she exceeds my expectations always.
Yeah, I'm not going to explain everyone, but I do have a few people that exceed my expectations. Brett being one of them, always on a Zoom.
Wait, what do you mean?
He's always busy.
Oh, and just
like,
okay.
And like as a friend too, you know? He works really hard.
Yeah.
Jason, definitely Natalie, because Natalie handles two careers.
Yeah.
With, you know, David and herself. I mean, everyone that I know, like in my close friend circles, like everyone works their ass off and they're so like, they're great people, you know, like Ilya, Zane, Mariah. And so I think I'm very blessed to like be surrounded by these people as like actual friends, and they also like, you know, bring me up, and I think all boats rise with the tide.
Totally.
You know, so like you and your friends and like we're friends, like now these friendships are colliding a little bit, you know, so I think it's great, and a lot of people exceed my expectations.
Yeah, it's cool. I've really enjoyed having like, I'm so grateful for my initial tight friend group, but it's so cool seeing other, like being able to hang out with you guys and being like, whoa, they do that a different way and it works so well for them, like let me try that, and like giving each other advice and stuff. That's been so fun.
Totally,
and
yeah.
Having a fresh perspective in that regard, like seeing like what works for you guys, trying that, giving what works for us to you guys, it's cool.
Yeah,
who would you say for you?
I mean, I'm trying to think of a few people, and you know, I have so many different parts of my life that some people from different parts of my life exceed. Obviously, Todd, you know, we work so well together, and he's just, I always say this too, like I admire his loyalty a lot, and I think that's such an important quality. Lately, I've been so blown away by Jason.
I think
he has two kids.
That's crazy.
And a fucking maniac dog.
His
dog is adorable.
You know, he's constantly just going through so much, and then he rises to the occasion and exceeds my expectations.
I would just be like, fuck it, let's go.
And continues to just be such a great person through like really difficult times, and that's, I think, shows his character a lot. Trying to think of who else, like, I don't know, my dad, for example, has been going through a lot, like both his parents and his brother, who's not married, all have dementia and Alzheimer's right now.
Oh my gosh.
And that's the only family he has.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine how difficult that is for him right now to like go through that. And I'm watching him try to like even on the car right here, I know this is like TMI, but he was like, seeing both his parents and his brother all have this, he's like, you know, if I ever get this, like, you know, he's like starting, his mind's going to that place. I'm like, Dad, just don't think about that. But then going through that and then stepping up and being like the support system for, and his parents are not together. So it's like he has to be separate, and they all live in their own little bubbles, to be the caregiver for three different people. I can't imagine how difficult it is. And he's done such a great job. And then also, you know, my mom as his support system has had to step up.
Yeah.
And she's exceeded a lot of expectations there. So I think, you know, on a personal level and like family level, I think that's real. I'm looking at that, and as I grow and move into my late 20s, early 30s, I'm like, those are things that you don't think about as a little kid of how important they are, and that's a impressive quality trait that they both have there. So
absolutely, that's a great example. I feel like it's an interesting question because there's a lot of people in my life that meet my expectations or don't meet them.
Yeah.
But it's rare when someone exceeds them because I have high expectations.
Me too.
So I think it's cool to know, like, oh, they exceeded my expectations time and time again.
Question for you, though. Do you ever love a quality trait about somebody, but then that quality trait also becomes like a...
negative?
Like, not a negative, but becomes like almost an Achilles heel.
That's a great question. I think I'm thinking of a lot of friends I have that are like, I love how they are so unapologetically themselves, like crazy, like don't give a fork about what anyone says, thinks, does, right? But sometimes I'm like, no, you should give a fork right now and like calm down a little or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, this is not the time to be doing that, right? I'm thinking of that.
And that's a perfect example of like something you love about somebody, but then at a certain point, you're like, those positive quality traits you appreciate or love about somebody sometimes become their crux.
I mean, sometimes our biggest... our craziest things about us are also our biggest, yeah, our biggest strengths and our biggest wins are our biggest weaknesses as well.
Yeah.
Okay, last question I have is, what are you guys both doing to make moves right now, whether it's professionally, personally?
We actually talked about this with Harry on our podcast, and I was kind of going in the details on this, but for years, so I've been in the music business since I was 15. I started working at Atlantic Records at 18. I started working with songwriters and producers at 22.
It's crazy.
And I've always kind of throughout that process seen like the music industry as something of like a clusterfuck.
Uh-huh.
And I always like, especially as I started working with songwriters, started to think about like, how could I help clean up somewhat of this mess and use technology to put this industry into the future? And again, like I would journal and I would make notes and I would like look up wireframes of other like technologies and be like, how can I use like AI, fintech type technology, whatever to fix a business like the one I'm in. And I would always like talk about it and tell people all these ideas I had and people would be like, yeah, that's a great idea. But it wasn't until in the last year that I was like, all right, enough is enough. I'm not going to keep talking about it. I'm actually going to execute on this, where I started to raise money, you know, build wireframes,
create
a business plan. By August, I actually had the entire like architecture of what I wanted this technology to be. By December, I had raised a little money, and by January, I had multiple engineers building it. And
oh my gosh!
5 months in, I have like a team of like 5 or 6 people building this platform technology that I think could actually disrupt the music publishing business in a way that I've always talked about. And it's getting to the point where by this summer, I think I'm ready to be put in a position, or by early fall, where it's like I can actually start putting the product out there and helping these songwriters and music publishers that are my peers who have maybe not even known what I've been up to for the last couple of years, where they're maybe like, oh, like that's really awesome. You're doing a podcast, or you're still managing so-and-so. Like, that's great. But I'm like, no, like I've actually taken a lot off my plate to put myself in this better position where it's like, you know, I'm working with engineers in Turkey and India, waking up at 6 a.m. on Zooms. And then by the time like all my friends are waking up at like 10 or 11, Todd's usually up at 6 a.m., but everybody else, you know, I've already gotten a whole day of work done worth like working on this platform. And I'm excited to see where that goes, because I almost feel like that analogy of like starting over. I'm a freshman again.
Yeah.
And I'm learning two completely new industries. And one is like the tech industry itself, of actually speaking like the language of building a technology, and then the VC world of like learning how to understand that whole industry. And it's like they kind of go hand in hand, but they're completely different. And being able to kind of be like completely this new person in this new world, learning these new languages as I'm trying to disrupt an industry that I've been in for more than half my life is really cool and exciting.
That's
for me.
Awesome.
So I'm excited about that.
I'm really excited to watch what happens. Go, I'm really excited for you.
Go songwriters.
Yeah.
So I have this tech platform. I'm just kidding. I don't have a tech platform. Honestly, I'm 31 now, and I just think it's just kind of like getting my life together, but not necessarily like my career, but my career too, but just like me as a person.
Uh-huh.
You know, and each year I think I'm like, oh, I kind of like discovered myself. And like 27, 28, I figured like, I'm like, oh, I'm like this, you know?
Oh, really? You don't feel like you found yourself until then?
Yes. But then 30, like I kind of like not reverted, but kind of like got twisted up mentally for like a little bit. And then now I feel like I'm like kind of like, you know, starting over a little bit and like getting like my wheels. Like I don't want to spin my wheels at all, you know. I want to get some traction and like just continue to grow. I was driving to our podcast the other day. I need to like continue to grow and like also like, you know, I think life's about like helping other people and like being a good person. Like that's like obviously an obvious thing, but like to like put that to like full force and to
actually
do it and like just like be a good person and like a human that people enjoy. I guess like, you know, you want to like enjoy being around someone.
Yeah.
That you're friends with, you know, like, I don't know, just like continue, like, obviously like, I want to like keep creating and like try to like to be like this artist that like, you know, I'm kind of confused sometimes of like what kind of artist I am, but yeah. I like continue like to make stuff and like kind of like just, you know, be a good person, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's also crazy how much, I always go back to my relationship with Alicia, but it's crazy how much, you know, she helped me and it was like life changing for me,
yeah,
but she would say I helped her
totally,
too.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how much, like, maybe a fresh perspective someone that's new to this industry can give you.
Yeah.
And I think that is really cool.
Totally.
I could so see you, like, mentoring some younger people, yeah, getting into this. Totally. And, like,
I think perspective, yeah, fresh perspective is always important. And then also, too, like, I continue, like, I think, I forgot who said it. I think it was Tyler Cameron. From The Bachelor. He, like, mentioned, like, just, like, I see, I know, right?
What,
like,
an so inspirational so guy. Random,
but, like, he, like, mentioned, like, just, like, seeing, I think his, seeing his parents and family more. And, like, I really want to see, like, my whole family and, like, my parents.
Totally agree.
A lot more, which I do see my parents a lot, but I just want to see, like, maybe, like, just, like, exercise that just more and more and more. Yeah. So, but, yeah.
Life is short.
I know.
You never know.
But, Todd, you said something the other day that I love, where you were, like, I just want my life and career to be like the stock market, where you might, like, if you look at it by day, you might see this. By month, you, yeah, might see this. But, like, over years, sorry, I'm not as close to the mic, but over years, it's like,
kind of
it's
continues, like, wow, to go like a roller, and, like, you're, like, about to ride a roller coaster. You know?
Yeah, and I thought that was, like, a really good perspective to have on your own life and career and personal life, whatever it is, to be like, you know, it might be like, it might feel like this one day and the next day, but, like, over time, it's actually,
that's
like
amazing.
This.
Yeah, you need the,
it's a great analogy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Thank also, you. I just have to say, I'm envious of you. Your parents only live an hour away.
Yeah, I'm very,
right,
lucky. Yeah.
I would eat that shit up. I know, if my, yeah, parents lived an hour away.
I know.
So
it's
spend
great.
Spend time with them.
I know. I am.
Yeah,
good.
It's
you're doing
the best.
A good job at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I've heard you're good at that, so I'm not trying to hear a lecture. No. But I'm just like, I'm jealous, aren't you?
I
jealous.
Am, like, the other day, or it's not the other day anymore, but, like, a few months ago, he's like, let's go surfing down in a new, where was it?
Huntington.
And we're, like, chilling on the beach, and then his dad just walks up, and he's, like waving to him as he's surfing, and I'm like, that's just so cool that he can just, like, go take a day to go surfing, and his dad can just watch him do that from the beach. Like, that's a luxury that you have.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. That is so cool. Yeah, even family that. Friends or, like, people, yeah, you grew up with, it's so nice to see. There's something about someone who knew you when you were young and, like, have... It's crazy when they watch you grow up. They're like, I knew you. You're exactly where you need to, yeah, be. They're like, and I know.
It's the
I
best.
Knew how you were. You know what I mean? So that's cool.
It's a nice feeling.
Anyway, thanks you guys so much for coming on.
Thanks
this
for
is
having
so fun.
Us. This is amazing.
Yeah, go watch my podcast on their, or my, yeah, episode on their podcast.
This is great.
Good boys. Where can everyone find you? Pimp yourself out.
Find me somewhere at Todd Eric. Or Toddy Smithy, I'm not sure.
Okay, perfect.
But yeah, the good boys. Follow the good boys.
Follow the good boys.
Good boys. Like and what's yours, Instagram?
Brady Bass.
Brady Bass.
Not more. Yeah. Not any. Not Brady Bronco.
Brady. Should it be Brady Bronco?
No, no, keep Brady Bass.
Brady Bass.
Brady Bass. Yeah. That's, yeah, a great name.
On, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you.
Thanks,
TK.
Y'all. Thanks,
thank
y'all,
you,
for listening.
Thank
and
you.
Follow Making Moves. Be sure to make someone's day this week. Peace.
Making Moves. Out. Woo. Woo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.